Okay, Juan, this is Rudolf. Good to have you there. I would propose that you start right away.
All right.
I have just one question, and that is, do you want questions from our side during your presentations, presentation, or do you want us to keep them until you are finished?
I would say if you have questions during the presentation at a certain section, you can certainly interject at that point. I don't think there's a need to wait until I'm done. I mean, it's really not a pre-scripted or a pre-formatted presentation. I'll just be going over some of the highlights in the draft operating plan and budget. So if you feel you need some more immediate clarity on anything, please feel free to chime in.
Yeah, okay. And just a friendly reminder that we agreed that you would refer to the comments that the SOP earlier made on the framework.
Yep.
So that we get a view of what has been taken into account in this version and what hasn't and for what reason.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll go for that. And that's and just overall, you'll notice that if you had a chance to look through the operating plan and budget, we addressed those comments, but we can certainly in the draft operating plan and budget, we can certainly go line item by line item if you wish.
Yeah, that we surely wish. Okay, go right ahead then.
Juan, can I just ask you? You're made presenter. Could you change your slides yourself?
I sure can.
Great, thanks.
Oh,
well, that looks a little odd.
Yes. Well, the numbers are okay, so.
Which is what matters, but still, let's see. Okay, that's fine. We'll go through it. I was just trying to figure out if there was a problem with my presentation or just something in Adobe. But so this is just jumping right into it. This is the. Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Juan Ojeda, and I'm the controller, as most everybody on this call, or if not everybody, knows by now. So let's go straight into the draft budget. I know that one of the comments, and I believe one of the comments by this SOP as well, was the fact that on the framework we had originally presented a draft budget in a deficit position. We took note of that, and initially, again, on the framework, it was meant more to elicit discussion, to elicit engagement from the community in terms of getting some guidance and not necessarily guidance, but getting their input on what their views of the budget were. So taking all of that into account, we went back to department owners and looked at non-critical areas where we could reduce some costs. And as you'll see on the draft budget now, we are presenting it pretty much in a break-even point, slight increase in net assets. But overall, big picture, this is where we're at, $69.8 million for budgeted revenue. One change from the framework revenue budget to the draft revenue budget is that now that we had the ICM agreement, signed, we've gone ahead and added some budgeted XXX revenue in that amount. The operating expense budget has been reduced to $7 million, and you can see going down, we're pretty much at a break even. Another item that changed is a contingency budgeted reserve amount. It's increased by $1 million. This is in as a placeholder, if you will. We increased it by $1 million. As part of the ATRT recommendations, one of their recommendations is to consider compensation. So since that decision has not been approved yet by the board, we thought it'd be a little presumptuous to include it up on top and under operating expenses. So for now, as a placeholder, we've put it under contingency. So, any questions on this slide?
Good morning, Ryan. It's Leslie. Yes, I just go back to your, obviously, we're pleased to see that it's now not a deficit budget, which is good development. You said that there had been some review of operating costs, I think, and some reductions made. are you able to headline with which areas have reduced their predicted operating costs then?
I don't have a line item by line item comparison, but I can certainly tell you travel, we reduced by about, I want to say about $2 million.
Okay.
That was one of the big items, and professional services as well, I believe. We were able to identify, again, non-critical requests, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to reduce that, I want to say, by about $500,000.
Okay, so professional services went down by half, about $500K, so there's another 1.5 from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, when we did this the strap budget and you'll notice in the document we basically went back to department heads, and there were about two or three iterations. So those numbers in my head we're talking more about those iterations between. I'm sorry. I can certainly tell you on investment income as well. We increased that by about $1.5 million. Based on the current balance and a flat, I believe it's a 5% annual return, as well as we added additional income to the revenue as a result of the ICM agreement.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful to know.
No problem. And also in response and specifically actually to the meetings that we had with the CCNSO in San Francisco, if you'll notice on this traditional view of the budget, we actually added a little bit of more detail in terms of the line items. So, for example, under personnel costs, to be able to provide just a little bit more of a clear picture in terms of what amounts are making up that line item, we broke it out into a compensation versus employee benefits as well as other personnel costs. We've also reallocated in terms of where we record certain expenses. So, for example, in the past, and including actually in the current fiscal year, we've recorded placement fees, like recruiting fees. So if we hire a search firm to hire a particular vice president, for example, we would normally include that as part of personnel costs. We made some more analysis, some more research, and we determined that that is best categorized, I guess, as professional services. So we've moved that out of the other personnel costs line item and moved it down below the line, just to provide a little more clear picture in terms of what's the actual compensation, benefit, and pension and payroll taxes, the burden of those fees for actual staff resources.
Juan, this is Roloff.
Hello, Roloff.
The comparison is a bit difficult to make with the framework because you don't have the same format in the way you present the figures. But the expenses that you had in the framework mounted up to 69.8 million, and you are now at 67. So that means a reduction of 2.8 million in expenses. It is, by the way, not in professional services because you have those budgeted at $17.3 million now, and in the framework they were budgeted at 17.2. So the professional services didn't go down, and I don't think the personnel cost went down. So it's probably in travel and facilities, but it's a bit difficult to compare the two in categories because you don't use the same categories. Can you?
I'm sorry.
You said that I saw that the investment income went from 1 million to 2.6 million.
Correct.
And the other revenues went 1.2 million up from 68.5 to 69.8. Is the latter is due to ICM only, or are there other revenues that you have taken into account?
No, and in the in the draft operating plan and budget, in the revenue section, you can see exactly how much we've budgeted for each individual TLD. So,
okay.
Actually, I have a printout here, so give me one quick second. But no, it's not entirely attributable to it. We initially put in, I believe, a 2% growth in transaction fees, and through further discussion with our registry and registrar teams and the ASONs and communication with contracted parties, I believe that was increased to a little over 3%. But if you'll give me one quick second, I'm going to jump to the revenue, section. So from XXX, we are budgeted for registry an additional $485,000, and registrar is 230,000 transactions, so at 18 cents.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't go into too much of the detail.
Yeah, so that's I don't know how much detail. I mean, I don't know if we were going to be regurgitating basically what's in the draft budget. So I was trying to keep it high level, but we can certainly jump into the details as needed. So from registrar perspective, it was another 41,000. So about 520,000 of that increase is attributed to the XXX TLD.
Okay.
So some of the, and again, these various explanations are coming straight from the draft, from the document, and explaining some of the increases from fiscal year 11 to 12. So in operating expenses, we're budgeted an increase of $7.7 million, and this is primarily attributable to these three major buckets: $3 million in compensation. Which on our budgeting model, we've budgeted a 4% annual merit increase. We are also budgeting additional resources in support of global engagement and increasing international participation, as well as increasing some resources in contractual compliance. In overall travel, we're also budgeting an increase of $1.9 million. And this is, again, primarily to support more community travel that's being requested through the SONAC request, as well as through the ATRT recommendations. We are also budgeting for travel for additional staff. We included the GAC board meeting, again, as per the ATRT recommendations, as well as just increase in meeting costs due to the larger scale of these international meetings. The third bucket that reflects a significant increase over fiscal year 11 budget is in professional services, and that is primarily, we've got 5-6 bullet points in here, but primarily there's about about $1.2 million in the ATRT implementations and about $1 million in the IDN IDN variant that was approved by the board in the current fiscal year. So, any questions on this slide? Moving on. Again, big picture of what's included in the draft budget, and there's some more detail in terms of what these key initiatives are undertaking on what's actually being performed for these projects. So I'd encourage you to read that in more detail if you so choose. I apologize for how this is coming up. So this is the functional view of our operating expenses, and so you'll see that we've layered in a fiscal year 11 budget versus current forecast and the fiscal year 12 draft budget. I will try to read down the organizational activities to you, and I emailed this to Christina. So if anybody wants us to review this this presentation, I guess in a little more clear format, she could certainly send it to you. Or otherwise, feel free to send me an email, and I'll be more than happy to send it off to you. So. Let me give me one quick second to open up this file on my computer, and I'll read down those categories for you. Okay, that's number one is the new GTLD pre-launch. Then we have IDN programs. Then IANA and technology operations improvements. And we've got security, stability, and resiliency operations.
What's exactly that is?
I'm sorry?
What does you exactly...
Is SSR?
Yes.
That's again. Let me go to that section in the draft budget. We've got that detail. That is supporting the IDM program with reviews of the variant case studies, conducting risk reassessment exercises, supporting cross-community DNS security and stability analysis working group. Collaborating with DNS ops on DNSSEC, implementing improvements on the LRoot contingency exercise, implementing objectives contained in the fiscal year 12 SSR framework after community input, developing long-term and obtained resources to support TLD capability training in developing countries, and closing the gaps identified with ISO 27002 standard for ICANN's internal information security and maturing comprehensive ICANN business continuity practices. And that's on page 13 of the draft budget. Then we have contractual
I have a question to all these activities. How do you actually get the community? I know that some of the projects you're targeting are more or less there are individuals who are asking for. But how do you measure actually that there is enough community support to actually go forward with them?
Well, overall, in terms of the budget dollars, in terms of their support for this increase in cost or not, that would be done through the community input process for this budget, for this draft budget. Having said that, I know that the security team has posted the FY12 SSR framework on our website for community input, so that would be another medium, another forum for providing this community input. So, I would encourage yourself in particular, if you want to provide input in both places, that's certainly the places to do so.
How do you actually measure if there is no input? Do you see that as support, or do you see that as a sort of ignorance?
I couldn't speak on their behalf, but on my behalf, if there's no community input, I take that as acceptance as is, and there's no particular objections, because at least from my end, especially on the framework, if community objects or has questions or concerns, they'll definitely not shy to provide that input. So.
Yes, but if they are completely agnostic about that. I just received some emails about IDN TLD variant studies, and I'm not sure that besides ICANN, everybody is completely agnostic about that.
If that's the concern, then I would encourage to provide feedback on the community input. If you feel that the community or a certain segment of the community needs more clarity in order to provide that, I would encourage you then to go to the posting of the SSR framework and specifically ask for that clarity sooner rather than later to hopefully be able to get that feedback before the window of community input closes.
So if ICANN is posting a new project and is asking for community feedback and there is no community feedback, we will see that as the next budget as a project that will go forward. Is that what I can say as a conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, if there's no, these are the projects that are going forward, and then if the community has any concerns and objections, you know, that's overall, you know, the time to do it. Now, you know, we could certainly, you know, keep the discussion going, but like I said, I don't want to speak on security's behalf. You know, we budget based on what each of our budget owners in our departments. Whatever projects they're working on and whatever projects they deem are critical based on this community feedback. So, again, I can't speak on their behalf in terms of what their criteria is and what their timeline is.
Sabine, if it helps, if I could also, exactly, if I could also add into this discussion that the CCNSO did make input on the plan last year, the security and stability plan, and we've also agreed that we'll make input on the most recent version. And there is a drafting team that, from memory, is being led by Becky to coordinate CCNSO inputs on that, and be really grateful for you to be involved as well. Obviously, there's an interest in this area.
Oh, absolutely. I guess I'm just not really sure that it's within the scope of this particular meeting. I think it's probably more we would need to involve Patrick in terms of, you know, drafting any kind of input or response. But, you know, I'd definitely be more than happy to be involved with that.
Is it fair to say that what you've done then is costed, in effect, the current plan in this budget for the time being?
That's exactly the case.
Thank you.
Okay. Carry on.
Okay, thank you. So, should we move to another slide and presume that the slide deck will be distributed, or should I keep going through all the different organizational activities?
Well, looking at the time, I suggested you move to the next slide, if that's okay with my colleagues on the call, because otherwise we will probably... How many slides do we have?
Just five more slides.
Yeah, so I think we probably better move on.
Okay.
If we can get the presentation, that will be good.
Okay.
Juan, Christina will distribute the slides after the call to the SOP working group.
Okay.
Actually, I just sent it, so you will have it in a couple of seconds.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Great. This slide, So in the draft document, we go through each of those individual organizational activities and describe them in detail, one by one. But I just wanted to point out the new GTLD pre-launch, because there has been some confusion on what exactly this budget line item entails. And under the no launch scenario, we are budgeting for $6.2 million to be incurred in continuing the development of the program to get it ready for launch and accepting application fees if and when the program launch decision comes down from the board. So I just wanted to highlight that in here, and that includes including the processes for customer support, the TAS system, the business processes, and what have you. So I wanted to just again point that out.
Ron, can I ask a question? This is Macho speaking. I have a question about the current professional services related to the GTLD program.
Okay.
I suspect there are several million dollars involved, right?
Correct.
And so far they were under professional services, right?
Yeah, they'd be budgeted in order. I don't have it in front of me right now, but we'll go with that assumption.
So next year, those professional services will be under the new GTLD program in the fiscal year 2012. So we should see a drop in the other professional services, right?
This budget that we're presenting, again, because just the optics of it, we can be presumptuous and assume that that there will be a launch in the coming fiscal year. Obviously, we hope so. But we have to budget under the assumption, and that's been one of the challenges. In essence, we're we're in the need of creating two separate budgets for two different scenarios. So under the scenario where we do not launch in fiscal year 12, we're budgeting to incur that $6.2 million. Now, having said that, if the program does get approved in Singapore or in some other time in fiscal year 12, there's a later slide deck which will kind of compare what the ICANN OPEX budget will be under both scenarios. Then you would see a drop in overall operating expenses in ICANN, and one of those drops would be, I mean, it'd be across all four major categories of expenses: personnel, travel, admin, as well as professional services. So you would see a drop in there.
Okay, I'll check that in the slide. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize for this again. So this is another view of the expenses by the expense account group, the EAG, which I know that people have been wanting to see. So hopefully most of you have the slide presentation now, but the third line item would be the CCNSO support, which is being budgeted right now at $12.3 million, which represents 18.3% of the overall budget.
Which page of the original document is this?
In the draft budget?
Yeah.
The expense account group would be under one of the appendices. Give me one second.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, it's page 75.
Yeah, 75, 76, somewhere on there, yeah. And this, again, just, this is, again, contained in the draft document. We are, the budgeted FTEs for the fiscal year 12 is at 158, and how they break out between the different organizational activities.
Can you identify the points you have actually allocated for the 12 million? You have the points allocated, but you have not the exact calculation of the different points.
So for purposes of this slide presentation, we have more detail on page 76 of the draft document, but it wouldn't, for purposes of the slide presentation, it wasn't going to fit. The text would be pretty small. But I'll read off the table on page 76 of the draft document and the different items that are highlighted for country code support and support of CCNSO activities. We have IANA function services for country code registries, local presence and regions engagements with CCTLDs and regional organizations, policy work and secretariat support for the CCNSO, managing the IDN CCTLD fast track operations, and an allowhead of overhead costs based on some kind of a weighted average.
So Juan, that's a list of things that no doubt there's some activity in, but do you have an actual breakdown of when you say IANA functions? We know what the total budget of IANA functions is already, but do you have what you believe to be the CC proportion of that somewhere?
We definitely have that somewhere. Historically, I guess it hasn't been included in this draft document, but definitely these numbers come from some allocation. So I presume that's something you'd want to see, Byron?
Yeah, I think we definitely want to see. I mean, if there are $12 million allocated across five categories here, I think we definitely want to see what the breakdown of each one is.
Okay. I will we'll prepare something for the CCNSO, and we'll write it through report.
Okay. Any idea when you would be able to do that? Or let me phrase it a different way. How
actually,
soon
I
you could do that?
Actually, I would be interested in not only in the CCNSO baked on, but also on the other side, so costs on the other portion.
I can tell you it won't be this week, Byron. We've got, I'd have to get it reviewed by Arkham, and he's going to be in Turkey this week on the board retreat, and as well as I'm taking the next 3 days off. So I would say middle part of next week.
That'll be fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Byron.
Well, and especially, I think also in respect of the CCNSO cost, particularly, which as you can imagine, both ICANN and the CCNSO are somewhat interested in at the moment, it would be useful to understand the movement from prior years as well and what is behind that movement, whether it be up or down.
Okay. We'll take that into consideration and to account. Thank you, Leslie.
Good point. Because, if I'm not mistaken, the previous amount that we had presented to us was something like 9 million, and we've now moved up to over 12.
I don't have that just in front of me, but I presume some of it is related to IDN work, but again, we'll definitely address that.
Okay.
Thank you. So this is the slide that I was referring to previously. I apologize. I had to summarize or not provide as much detail just to be able to fit this into the presentation, but in the draft document, you'll see how this breaks out by different areas. So I invite you to look at that. But if you'll notice, on operating expenses, for example, we're going from $67 million under no GTLD launch over to with GTLD launch of 60.815. That's a direct reduction of the $6.2 million that we had alluded to previously under organizational activities. So that $6.2 million reduction in operating expenses, I forgot who was the gentleman that had asked the question, so that 6.2 would be allocated based on what the actual budgeted categories were between personnel expenses, professional services, travel, and admin. Under that scenario, and again, as is documented in the draft document, we are assuming 500 applications at $185,000. Under that assumption, a $12.5 million historical development recovery transfer would be made from the new GTLD program back to regular ICANN operations. So that's why you see... So you take that $12.5 million in addition to the $6.2 million reduction in operating expenses, gives you your revised change in net assets amount of $18.8 million for ICANN operations. And then we've got the other provisions, the FY13, because all the application processing costs won't be incurred in fiscal year 12, so we're provisioning that amount to cover the future costs that are expected to be incurred, as well as the risk provision of $30 million. And actually now tying that into one of the comments, that $30 million, or I should say it's actually more a product of a $60,000 per application risk provision amount. That was determined and set by the new GTLD team based on information on risk information received from our current insurance broker, Willis, based on a medium risk appetite. So at some point I would imagine there's going to be, prior to the launch of the new GTLD program, some further discussions by the new GTLD team. So I would encourage input at that point into the individual components. But again, that's the background, the history on the calculation for the $30 million. That concludes the slide presentation. So, apologize. I had to take a quick sip. We can go over the comments, the input that the SOP provided. Again, in the draft documents, in the first appendix, we have addressed the community input questions. I'll give you that. Trying to find the page number for it. It starts on page 63. So we go over the general session first. There was a concern, obviously, about the lack of clarity of the strategic plan and budget compared to last year. And you'll notice, again, on the responses on the draft document that the feedback that we heard in terms of the framework for fiscal year 11 was that it was pretty much a half-baked version of the draft budget, and the community felt they had no not much of an input in between the framework and the draft process development. So what we attempted to do was to scale back then on the presentation to be able to give more bare-bone structure, a basic framework to allow for that input. But obviously the input that we received is that we scaled back too much. So I apologize for that. And here's, we will try to find that happy medium where the framework provides enough detail information for the community to provide additional input as they feel is necessary, but not so much detail as to make it appear as if it's a half-baked draft budget at that point. So we will take that into consideration for next year, and hopefully this, you'll find that the current draft document gives you this clarity and additional detail that you need. We've provided more detail on the projects and operation and logistics. I know there was a concern regarding SO and AC requests, which, by the way, is also included in terms of which ones are in the draft are approved to be funded. So, again, if you'd like to review that, I would invite you to do so. But I know there was some concern from this SOP in regards to funding these SO and AC requests, given that we were budgeting to be in a deficit position. So, as we've already covered, we're now pretty much in a break-even situation, and that's inclusive of these additional SO and AC requests that were approved in this current draft. Going under core operations. Again, we've provided some more, much more detail in the draft than we did in the framework, and we feel we've as best as possible, we've tied in the operating plan and budget to the strategic plan. So hopefully you find that we have, and again, if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to either provide a commentary input on the website, or you can email any questions to controller@icann.org. IANA function, we've provided detail of what the actions are, actually pretty much for all of these remaining items on the core operations list, for IDM Fast Track, security, SSR, I should say, public meetings, as well as policy developments. The second bullet point under core operations is that there is some inconsistency between the prior or the current year's framework and the FY12 framework. Again, we've acknowledged that the fact that we scaled back on the detail that was provided. Again, in future frameworks, we expect to find some balance in between, so that it doesn't appear to be half baked, but provides enough detail for the community. Next, overall section of projects, lack of detail on projects. Again, I believe we've addressed that in the current draft document, and hopefully you agree. Next section, new GTLDs, contingency. We addressed that about how it's a $30 million based on a $60,000 per application fee. There will be some discussion again by the new GTLD program prior to the launch in terms of explaining what these unforeseen risks are that should be mitigated against. And it's actually interesting because we get from the community, we get arguments on both sides. Some community members feel that $30 million is way too much. Others feel that it's not enough. So it's trying to find that balance. The objection fee revenue and auction revenue. We are in the process, in the initial processes of developing a new GTLD excess fund policy, if you will. So we are that's in the planning stages. So so we are working on that. As soon as that policy is drafted, you can be assured that we will post that for on our website for public comment. So hopefully at that point. We can certainly engage the community to provide some input into that policy, but hopefully that will answer those questions at that point in time. Transparency, multi-year cost allocations. We've addressed that as well with the fiscal year 13 provision for process costs that was included in the penultimate slide on this presentation. Deficit and strategic fund objective. So for the fiscal year 12, we are not budgeting to make additional contributions for the reserve fund. Just because, as you'll notice, as you read through the draft document, in fiscal year 12, it is a challenging year in terms of. All the community projects, as well as board-initiated activities that we're undertaking, in addition to budgeting for wrapping up the new GTLD application processing, and to ensure that it's ready if and when the program is approved. So, in future fiscal years, we will make an earnest effort to budget additional contributions. To ensure that the reserve fund is capped, the balance is attained to contain at least 1 year of operating expenses. We're also currently working on clearly defining what this cap should be, so we will communicate that once a draft has been prepared. And as you've seen on the new GTLD launch scenario, if there is a launch and if there are 500 applications received. There is an element there to recoup some of that money and put it back into the reserve fund. So that would be another vehicle.
Juan, this is Rolo. Can you hear me?
Yes, Rolo.
Oh, Juan, just on the point of the CD fund.
I'm sorry?
I have a question on the CD fund. Does ICANN consider it not to be a problem? That the fund is not up to the level that it is supposed to be? Because you either make it a priority and it means that you reduce your expenses, or you don't think it's really such a problem, and then you have a budget like the one you have this year.
Thanks, Roland, for the question. You were cutting off, but I think I got the gist of your question. It's definitely a priority to build up to that 1 year cap. To be able to have at least 1 year of operating expenses, as you'll notice in the draft document, as we try to convey, is the fact that it is something critical for us. I mean, we want to be able to get there. But in fiscal year 12, it's really a unique set of challenges in terms of all the projects that are being requested by community as well as the board. For example, ATRT implementations, implementing those recommendations, we're budgeting with board compensation about $3.6 million. This is something brand new that's been put upon on staff to be able to accommodate. In addition to pretty much everything that we're doing on a day-to-day basis at fiscal year 11. Some of those amounts are going to be one time, and we expect that to be reduced, and specifically in regards to the ATRT. So in fiscal year 12, we realize that we're not making any contributions again, but it's definitely important to us, and it's a critical component of our budget preparation. But in terms of the difficult challenges and the difficult decisions that we had to make as part of our budgeting process, we felt that it was more critical to be able to fund these initiatives and projects that are requested by the board and by the community, and and focus on contributing additional, making additional contributions to the reserve fund in future years, and not solely relying on contributions from the new GTLD launch.
Okay.
Juan, it's Byron. Question on, maybe it's a process question, but how the actual comment gets selected and the ICANN responses are then made in the appendix that you referred to. Obviously, I've only seen this document. I haven't had a chance to go through it in depth yet, but in certainly skimming through it, the responses from ICANN and the areas selected seem to be pretty specific. Given the robust nature of the feedback that the SOP provided, you know, I'm at something of a loss to find anything specifically referenced in all of the appendices. Yet when I look at the part on revenue, you have to excuse me if I say it seems rather prejudicial in terms of the arguments being made about CC contributions. And looking at the ICANN responses, it's certainly the only place where I see ICANN talking about acting aggressively or that type of feedback. So I'm wondering if you can tell me, how do these comments get selected, and how come we don't see anything specific to the SOP, which I think provided pretty substantive feedback?
So as far as what the process was, is that we took all the community inputs, not just from the SOP, but from the other inputs that were provided, and there was a categorization process done. So rather than answering each individual question, because a lot of times, I mean, the community would have similar questions in terms of clarity, in terms of more detail on the projects. We categorized them and then attempted to answer them in a way that hopefully would suffice to all the community members and the stakeholders that provided input. Specifically with an operating expense, obviously by the nature of the question, it seems that you may not be necessarily satisfied with the responses to the SOP input. If that's the case, we can certainly address that after the meeting, and maybe in conjunction with the subsequent communication that we have planned for next week, we can certainly address that, and that'll give you some more time to be able to review the responses, and if you feel that more detailed responses is needed, we can certainly address it at that point. In terms of revenue, I know that we were... The letters went out to the CCTLDs a little bit later than usual, but our stakeholder relations team feels confident that through a communication that we can attain the original fiscal year 11 budget amount for CCTLD contributions, and that response was drafted by that team, and so that's their perspective on the revenue selection.
Juan, this is Leslie. So who added the sentiment about aggressive pursuit of CC then? Because I don't think that came from the CC community.
I'm sorry? I didn't understand the question.
Well, I think Byron referred you to the line in the 77-page report that we got very recently talking about aggressive pursuit of country codes. It's quite strong language for a document of that nature.
I think aggressive in terms of community. I think, like I said, I think first we were delayed in sending out the contribution letters. So when we're saying aggressive, we're meaning just be more proactive about it, being more in communication with the CCTLDs. And making it an even more critical part of what they do. I mean, we're definitely behind on a year-to-date basis, but just internally, we just need to be more aggressive, be more on top of it. Send out contribution letters sooner than we did this year in future years. So So it's more aggressive in terms of internally within staff, just to make it you know, an even more of a priority. So I mean, I hope the meta message of that didn't get you know, went sideways on that, but that was the intent of the response.
I think the American English might be rather different from the English English in that respect.
I will certainly not argue that with that point with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because just not to beat this one to death, but when you read the I can respond, listening to you, you could certainly interpret it that way, which, you know, to paraphrase you, is that ICANN needs to be more vigorous internally in their own internal processes to make sure that this happens. But the way it reads is that ICANN is going to be more aggressive in seeking out additional CC contributions. So, I mean, I understand the way you're phrasing it, but certainly somebody reading it would probably take away a very different perspective.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough on that one.
Okay, no, and Byron, I sincerely appreciate that input. That's definitely, I mean, from a communication perspective, we definitely want to convey the right message. So I apologize for the possible misconception of that comment, but
is... I think we do, obviously, going into not necessarily the SOP work, but the finance working group work, you're setting the stage here. And I'm not sure that this is the way we want to set the stage as we try to enter a productive dialogue on this subject.
Okay. Well, hopefully you take my paraphrasing into account, and between now and the final budget, we'll certainly revisit that response and ensure that that any, you know, any normal person would interpret it as would interpret the message that ICANN staff is trying to convey.
We will quote you on it one if necessary. people, we're running out of time, so carry on, Juan, because I think you haven't finished yet.
Okay, let me go back. Diverging increase in revenue and expenses. We, in response to this and other similar comments from the community, we've cut down again about $2.5 million of operating expenses from the framework, and as is documented in the draft document, the fiscal year 12 will represent, we believe, a unique set of challenges in terms of the projects and initiatives that we're undertaking. So we expect this to taper off and to be more in line with the growth in revenue in coming fiscal years. Average employee costs, we provide a little bit more granularity on that. I believe in the budget now, the average salary, I believe, is about $150,000, with bonuses included in that. So, you know, if you certainly want to, you know, take a gander at that, I invite you to do so.
On this one, because we've also made a specific suggestion, and the document does not refer to that. It refers to the first part of our comment, the fact that we feel that the cost per full-time equivalent are very high.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any written reaction to our suggestion to benchmark, for instance. You probably remember that during the public forum I made a comment on this, and that the CEO said that there was a benchmarking going on, but I was referred to a document which is just a policy document.
I'm very sorry, because I actually have to leave now.
Okay. There are periodic studies, and this is more of an HR issue, but there are periodic studies, and I believe they're annual, if not biannual. I'll have to circle back on studies of our compensation. As part of that studies, there is a benchmarking done. So I will I can certainly point space with HR and point out that wherever that study is is posted on our website, and I can circle back that that link through BART for distribution to the CCNSO.
I think it's an important point to get clarity on, especially if I can either internally or externally to vigorously pursue additional contributions to the ICANN budget. I'm sure that those organizations that are contemplating to either contribute or not want to be convinced that the money is efficiently spent and effectively. And this is one of the points about which there is a lot of discussion and there's no clarity. So I think it would be wise for ICANN to do some work on this.
Duly noted. Thank you. We'll certainly be in contact with that.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. professional services costs, again, in the draft document, we've detailed out what these professional services are being allocated towards, so we've provided more clarity on that. and then on CCTLD contributions, I think we've also alluded to that, and the fact that ICANN staff will be more vigorous in its communication and its collection of CCTLD contributions. So that is, I apologize, I'm getting pretty dry throat over here. So that is why we are budgeting $1.6 million for the next fiscal year, because we have the hopes that those vigorous efforts will result in consistent CCTLD contributions from years past.
Okay, thank you, Juan. Did you want to add something, or?
Myself?
I think you've come to the end of our comments, haven't you? Or was there something you wanted to add?
No, I was just going to say that concludes my end of the presentation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that one. Are there any questions to Juan?
Hi, Rudolf, this is Peter. Hi, Juan. Thanks for that overview. I have a question on one of the annexes in Annex 3 on the expense area groups. Is this something, Rudolf, you want to discuss now, or do you see that outside the scope of this call?
Well, I don't know if it's out of the scope of the call, but the problem is that we've run out of time.
It's very short, and it's probably work that Juan maybe can do in preparation of the work with for the finance working group, on which we'll definitely need your input as well.
Okay, let me with the rest of the people on the call. Is there anybody who has to quit the call between now and, let's say, 5 minutes?
No.
No.
Okay, so
Juan. Yeah, I can do 5 minutes, but that's absolutely it, I'm afraid.
So pose your question, Juan. Keep the answer brief, because I just want to have 1 or 1.5 minutes to make a few arrangements about how we proceed.
Okay.
So in the expense area group view, you see that CCNSO is now accounting for 18% of the ICANN expenses. Which leads us to 12 million, a cost of 12 million plus for 2012. We come from 9 million, and this for a group that has vigorously been insisting on reducing costs. So we've actually increased our costs over the last, over this year and the next year with 30%. So it would be really good to get some figures behind that.
Maybe I can just intervene here, because we addressed this earlier in the call, and Juan has already agreed to give us more detail on this, both how we reached the 12.1 million for 2012, what kind of expenses they are, and as well as looking back, see where we come from, what have been the changes.
Okay, apologies on this part.
Yeah.
Roloff, it's Debbie here, Roloff.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, I'd also be keen, as well as those figures, how they make up 12 million, is what percentage the CCs are actually paying. Like, for example, I notice it's got local presence in regions and engagement with CCTLDs. Now, I wonder what percentage of those regional liaisons the CCNSO is expected to actually cover and pay, because nobody else actually has a similar description. So, as well as the breakup, I'd be interested to know what percentage of each of those categories the CCNSO is expected to cover as well.
Okay. Did you get that one?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all of that.
Basically, well, Debbie here, I'm interested to know what percentage of the cost of the regional liaisons the CCNSO is expected to cover as well. So as well as how that $12 million is made up, what percentage of the total cost of those is being put onto the CCNSO?
Per activity, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes. I got a question. Thank you.
Any other questions? This is Bart. One
yep.
of the issues probably that is confusing is they're always lumped to the CCNSO, while I think the CCPLD community is broader than just the CCNSO.
Correct. So Category 3 is country code support and support for CCNSO, so this $12.2 million is for CCPLD and CCNSO combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Well, Juan, thank you very much for presenting this, and I'm sure we'll be back to you with some additional questions or comments.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to speaking with all of you soon. We'll be in touch in the next week or so, and if I don't speak to you after that, I will see you in Singapore.
Okay. See you then.
Thank you, guys.
I just want to, as SOP members, to hang on for 1 or 2 minutes. I just want to have the sentiment of the group. Do we expect to make another submission before the 17th of June on this version of the plan? Anybody who has any thoughts?
Rolf, it's Giovanni.
Yes, Giovanni.
Yes, hi. I just went through last night what we submitted against what they corrected and fixed in the long document they posted yesterday. Mm-hmm. And what I've been able to see is much inconsistency in what they've done, because if we go through our inputs against what they've done, one of the main comments we put forward was the fact that they should have included measurable goals. And
yes.
It's funny the way they have done it, because at least for the core operations, it was done only for a limited number of actions. And those limited number of actions, it has now some sort of goals and some sort of timeline. The rest is still the same.
Yeah, you're right. The same with the projects. Yeah. So that is definitely a comment that we can repeat. So I take your reaction as a confirmation that you think it's necessary that we reiterate some of our comments?
Well, at least some of the key comments, like the inclusion of measurable goals, I believe would be valuable to reiterate that.
I agree. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mathieu speaking. I think if one... sticks to his commitment to provide additional information next week, then there may be cause for comments in those additional figures. And so I think we should get ready to comment and for June 17th.
Yeah. Okay. So I think so too. Is there anybody who feels differently? No. Okay, just to speed us up, what I suggest is that each of the teams that we have previously formulated, so the finance team, the corporations team with Giovanni as coordinator, the new GTLD team with Fad, but Fad is not on the call. But Atushi, are you still on the call?
Yes, I am still on the call, yes.
Okay, so maybe you can feedback what we agree now to your group.
Sure.
And do we have anybody from the projects team on the call? I don't think so, huh? Sabina was there, but she's gone. Mohammed is not there. Oscar, I haven't heard him. Grigory, no. Okay, I'll do that myself. But I think what we do, we wait. Well, we don't wait, but we will get additional information from Juan. And I think in the meantime, so between now and next week, it would be, or between now and the moment that we get that information next week, as the coordinators of the team already go through their part of the submission, and pick out those important comments that were not fully or not at all taken into account, so that we already have a small inventory of those comments that we want to reiterate. Then we can add comments on the basis of the additional information we get from Juan, and it will take us little time to compilate that into a new set of comments that we will send out, well, before the deadline, both to ICANN as well as the CCNSO community. How's that as a plan?
That's fine to me.
Good.
Sounds good.
And it means that we keep our date on the 25th. Bart, did you get that? Is the 25th before or after we get additional information from Juan?
I'll try to press him to get additional information, but especially the EAG one, I think that's mostly Byron's group, but it's useful for the rest as well. But I doubt whether we'll have it in time. It was, and if enough detail, but you have it, and I will pursue Juan. I will send him an email just to remind him.
Okay, so if every group can work on can work the way I just proposed, and then we will have our call on the 25th to sort the last things out. And then if by the end of that week we can get the comments, then Bart and I can compile it into a submission. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.